If we haven't met, I'm Pastor Tim, our adult ministries pastor here, and we're in the last week in our 8-week Holy Spirit series. So we've covered a lot over the last 7 weeks. We've talked a lot about who Holy Spirit is, what he does, what his role is in our lives as he works in us and through us and in the church. And that's all important information. It's not unimportant at all that we get correct a doctrinal perspective on who Holy Spirit is, on what his role is, and how we interact with him. But as I said last week, if all that you and I take out of this series is a correct doctrinal statement about Holy Spirit, then I think that's really sad. It's important that we understand accurately about the Holy Spirit because it does inform our belief system. But Holy Spirit means so much more to you and I than just textbook theology. You see, it's one thing to have a correct theological statement that says, I believe that Holy Spirit is a personal God, one of the members of the Trinity. It's another thing entirely to actually experience a personal walk with the Spirit, to hear his voice on a regular basis, to interact with him. I said last week that all of us, I think, have this inner desire to really know that God is real. Not just real in theory, but real to me, that I experience his presence and his working. I know that he's active. Now, I mean, not just active out there somewhere, but to know that God is active in my life and in my heart. So what is it that makes your and my Christianity more than just a set of doctrine and a moral lifestyle? Because there are a lot of world religions that have that. What is it that takes your Christianity and your belief that God is a personal God and moves it from the realm of theory to an actual living, breathing, daily walk with God? It is Holy Spirit that does that work in our life. He reassures us, if we will listen and respond to him, that we are God's children, that he loves us, that he's for us, that he's actively involved in us. In John 14, 17, Jesus, talking to his disciples about the Holy Spirit, said this, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. So Jesus is telling us that the Holy Spirit is somebody that you and I can know personally about. Let me ask you a question. Do you ever have doubts about whether you're just kind of going through the motions as a Christian? Do you ever have doubts as to whether God is really right there with you? Or do you doubt sometimes whether you're really okay with him? That you really do have his approval and are precious to him? I have those kind of doubts. Well, what do we do when we struggle with doubts about the reality of God's presence in our life and the personal nature of his relationship with us? The Apostle John addressed those kind of questions in 1 John 3:24. He says, as we keep his commands, we live deeply and surely in him, and he lives in us. And this is how we experience his deep and abiding presence in us, by the Spirit he gave us. And Romans 8, 14 through 16 that we looked at last week says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." Holy Spirit will lead us. Through the Holy Spirit, we can have an intimate heart connection with God, not just as some distant being out there, but God who is our intimate Father. And Holy Spirit is the one who reassures us that we're okay, that we're loved, that we're God's children. And our prayer for this series is that you and I would realize that through the Holy Spirit, our relationship with God is active, that it's personal, that God's voice to us through the Holy Spirit's work is something that we can hear regularly and that we can respond to his voice regularly. You can know God through his Spirit in a close and personal walk. See, the Holy Spirit's working in our lives. It's not just some secret behind the scenes thing. It's not just something that happens once in a while when we feel moved in a church service. No, the Holy Spirit's activity in our hearts is meant to be daily and fresh and active. Now, last week our message was about the working of the Spirit. And we talked about how the Holy Spirit is working, and not just in an individual way between us and God, and it's me and God and the Spirit, but that his work in us is actually for a corporate purpose. That Holy Spirit's work in you and in me is meant to build up the body of Christ, and that his working in us is not complete unless we are engaged in this body, engaged in the church. Because it's when we walk in step with the Spirit and we take steps of faith that maybe we wouldn't normally do, that he begins to use our gifts. And when we step into the relationships in the church, he uses those gifts to build up the body of Christ so that it functions in the way that God intends it to. This week we're talking about the witness of the Spirit. The witness of the Spirit. And what we mean by that is that Holy Spirit is actively, constantly working to bring attention to Jesus Christ, to draw your attention and my attention, the world's attention to how awesome Jesus is. He is witnessing to that. Another place where Jesus was explaining the roles of the Spirit to his disciples in John 15, verses 26 through 27, he says this about that. He says, "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me, and you will testify also, because you've been with me from the beginning." You see, one of Holy Spirit's primary activities is to draw attention to testify about Jesus. In fact, the very last words that Jesus spoke to his disciples before he ascended into heaven had this same truth embedded in them. He says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." Now, obviously, he is speaking to those first disciples there, and they fulfilled this mission that he gave them. They did become his witnesses. But these words that Jesus spoke aren't just for those guys. They're for us, too. Holy Spirit is working now, today, constantly, through his body, through you and I, to proclaim, to witness to the world how awesome Jesus is. Let's turn to one place together, one more place that has this theme. 1 Peter 2, verses 9 through 10. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, when we become God's children, we realize what we're meant to be, what we're created to be, and that is his witnesses. Let's read 1 Peter 2, 9 through 10. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. We're chosen. We're made holy. We are God's very own people. Why? So that we may proclaim his excellencies. That's what you and I are as God's people. We're proclaimers. We're proclaimers of the excellencies of God. So exactly what does that mean? What does it mean for us to proclaim God's excellencies? Well, there are a variety of ways that you and I can testify or proclaim the excellencies of God. And if you've been around church very long, you've probably heard several of those. One of those ways that's kind of obvious is we could tell people about Jesus. You could tell people who don't know Jesus about the good news that Jesus brings them into a relationship with God if they put their faith in him. As a church, we can also do good works. We can do good works that show visibly that God is real and that he's active in our community. Another way that we can be proclaimers of God's excellency is we can just walk in step with the Spirit. Because when we hear the Spirit's voice and we respond in obedience, he changes us. He grows us and we become more and more like Jesus. And when we are transformed into Christ's likeness, Jesus is put on display to people. Because there are changes that are made in Christians' lives that can only be explained by the power of God. Now, maybe some of you are doing a great job as proclaimers. And this is something that you've got whipped. But there are a lot of us, I think, myself included, who would have to admit that we could proclaim a little more than we do. And if you think about it, that raises some questions. I mean, if Holy Spirit lives in every believer, and he does, and his role, his activity is to testify about Jesus, and every believer is equipped with the power of God through Holy Spirit, then why do we often struggle to proclaim the excellencies of the one who saved us? What is it that hinders us? Now, often, if we realize that we might fall short in some area, what can be helpful is methodology, techniques on how we might improve, to be a better proclaimer. But I think sometimes what's even more helpful is to take an honest look at what holds us back from stepping into some of those techniques that we may already know. And that's what I want us to do this morning, is to kind of look at some of the things that might hinder us in this area of being the proclaimer that God has called us to be. And one reason that I think many of us might struggle to proclaim, as the Bible says we should, is that we experience fears when we think of being a witness. The thought of proclaiming Christ to people makes us feel a little insecure. And there are a lot of things that we can be afraid of. But in this area, fear can cause us to shrink back from proclaiming Jesus, because if we're afraid, if we're insecure, we'll be ruled more by fear than we are by freedom. Earlier in Romans 8:15, we read that you and I, as God's children, haven't received a spirit of slavery that leads us back to fear again. No, we've received a spirit of adoption as God's children. And that gives us this intimate relationship with God that we can cry out, Daddy, to God Himself. Paul, in that verse, is contrasting two things. He's contrasting the freedom that comes in the security that we find in an intimate relationship with the Creator of the universe, who's our Father. And he contrasts that with fear, slavery, things that can really bind us up and hinder us. And when it comes to following the Spirit and proclaiming Christ, our fears usually center around things like rejection, disapproval by people. We're afraid that we might look awkward or sound silly or stupid, or we might not come up with something very interesting to say or we might say it wrong. I mean, all these things that we begin to say, what if they're offended? What if I do it wrong? What if I say something dumb? What if they reject me? And when you and I take a step of faith and we talk with somebody about the working that the Spirit is doing in our lives, we do make ourselves vulnerable. We make ourselves vulnerable to criticism, to rejection. And I think we know this, but often I don't know that we rest in this truth. If you and I really trust that the Father loves us deeply, that He will never reject us, that He will never leave us, that He will never cast us out, if we trust that and we rest in that, then even if we are rejected, even if we do say something that seems stupid, we can still stand in security because we know we're loved and we know we're safe. Another hindrance that I think is closely related to the issue of fear is that some of us are hindered in our proclaiming because we think of the term witness as more of an activity than an identity. More of a thing that we do rather than a thing that we are. I want you to look back at those verses from 1 Peter. What does God tell us there? It says in these verses that we are a chosen race. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. There was a time when we weren't a people, but now we are God's people. There was a time when we hadn't received mercy, but we have received God's mercy. All of these things that the Apostle Peter describes are past tense. They have happened to God's children. You see, you and I, we're not working our way towards becoming God's people. We're not on the road to becoming a holy people. We're not striving to be accepted by God. It's already happened in Christ. And Peter links our proclaiming to all of these things that have already happened to us in Christ. You and I don't proclaim Jesus in order to gain a secure identity with the Father. We already have that. And our proclaiming Jesus is supposed to flow out of what we've already been given in Christ. Proclaiming being a witness is first our identity before it becomes our activity. Witness is an identity. You and I are secure in God's love because He's made us children by grace alone. It is a gift from God. And standing secure in God's approval results in a change in our hearts. Gratitude. Gratitude that flows from all that he's done for us. Gratitude that motivates us to proclaim him. But if we aren't secure, if we get things that we do for him, we are going to be ruled by fear. We will not be able to stand secure in the identity that's been given to us in Jesus. Yeah, proclaiming, witnessing, it is an activity. But it first is rooted in our identity. So how do you gain that security? How do you not lose sight of the identity that has been given to you by grace? You do that by constantly listening and responding to the Spirit's voice. You hear him, and you step into what he's saying. It's not that complicated. But what that does is it reassures us that he's active, that he's there, that God loves us, that he's reassuring us that he's with us. And one last reason I think some of us struggle to be regularly proclaiming the excellencies of God is simply that we don't get much practice. We don't get much affirmation in our proclaiming. And I think one of the reasons for that is we don't do it very often, and we feel unsure in it because we view it as something that we do outside of the church. That when we think of proclaiming the excellencies of God, we think of it as something that we do with people who don't know Jesus. And that is something we should be doing. But our proclaiming Christ should not be limited to outside of the body of Christ. I think the most natural place for us to be proclaiming who Jesus is and how good he is right here. And if proclaiming Jesus in our regular conversations was common in our gatherings, I think it would increase our boldness to proclaim him in other settings. Now, I know that in one sense, when we gather and we sing about Jesus like we did this morning, we are proclaiming his excellencies, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about our regular conversations. And I think there's a lot of things we know up here to be true about the family of God and the fellowship of believers and the security that we have in Christ. And we may know that this is a safe place. But it's kind of sad, I think a lot of us would feel more comfortable talking about the weather with each other than we would about saying, hey, man, what's Holy Spirit been doing in your life this week? It's easier to come up to somebody we see at church and say, hey, did you get the lawn mowed? Or how are the kids? Or hey, did you get out and golf this week? How did you do? And those aren't wrong things to talk about, but how often, how regular in our conversations do we say, hey, you know what God has been doing in my life this week? Let me tell you about that. Or, man, I've been leaning on the Spirit this week because I need help. How's he been at work in your life? How has he reassured you this week? How has he helped you this week? How is he excellent to you this week? So what would happen if our regular fellowship included a consistent culture of proclaiming the excellencies of Christ? I think if that was our culture, one of the things that would happen, besides the fact that we'd get to practice, is our awareness of God's goodness would be more constant because we'd be talking about it and sharing with each other. One of the things I think we've heard if we've been around church is that this should be a place of encouragement. We're supposed to encourage one another in the Lord. And I think often we come hoping for encouragement in our walk with Christ. But I think sadly too often what we hope for is that the music is going to connect with us that day. Or the message is going to hit something in us, and that's where we're going to take our encouragement. And those are great things. But you know what the primary way that God has designed this, the church, to be an encouragement to us is not for us to be spectators of what goes on. It's to interact and to each other proclaim the excellencies of Christ. So that we are constantly talking about Jesus and his work and what he's doing and supporting each other. And wow, I'm glad to hear that because I'll be praying for you. What if we made it our regular practice to walk up to somebody that we see at church and say, tell me something that Holy Spirit's been doing in your life this week? Now, I want to address something that I know is probably going on in some of your minds. I think all of us have this inner lawyer that pops up sometime. And because most of us are not, I was going to say gifted, but I'm not sure it's a gift, but most of us are not wired as extroverts. I mean, there are some people who it just fills their tank to just go and meet people and talk and find out about what's going on, but that's not a lot of us. And for those of us, like me, who are not that extroverted, when we begin to talk, when I begin to talk about the idea that here at church you'd walk up to somebody and say, tell me what the Holy Spirit's been doing in your life this week, all of a sudden, Mr. Lawyer inside begins to pop up and he begins to talk to you about why that's not such a great idea. What could go wrong? I mean, that seems really forced, doesn't it? I mean, doesn't that seem artificial? Doesn't it seem like it could even offend somebody? What if you did that and the person wasn't even a Christian and they were here and you did that? Wouldn't that really bother them? What if you said something really dumb? Then what would you look like? Just dismiss that. That's kind of how the inner lawyer works. And I think even though we know this to be true, we can get caught up in the emotional response to an idea like Christian fellowship. Besides just talking about the weather, and we can react out of fear. And I think it's actually kind of odd, and I'm including myself in this, that it takes a formal Bible study question for us to be able to answer what God's doing in our life. And we kind of feel put on the spot, actually, if we're in a group setting and everybody has to answer the question. We're believers. It really is. If you step outside and you look at this from a biblical perspective, if you look at this from the Holy Spirit's perspective, it's weird that we have such difficulty just talking about the excellencies of God to fellow Christians. Now, part of what's going on there is I think sometimes we make this into a way bigger deal than it needs to be. I mean, when we think of sharing with people, we think we have to have some rehearsed life story, some motivational idea, some well-put-together story of how I've made tremendous strides of growth. And frankly, that's not what we're talking about. We're just talking about the real stuff of life, of sharing what's going on in our hearts, in our lives. And as I thought about the places that you and I could do this as a church, I thought about the importance of us creating a culture of proclaiming. That was a regular part of who we are at Smoky Point Community Church, and I would love to see us step into that, to have more of that kind of culture. And obviously, we can do that in life groups. It's a natural place. We can also do that in gatherings. I mean, as you meet each other in the lobby, as you break up after service, you could have those kind of conversations. But you know what else I thought about? I thought about our connection time. And it's a great time. Well, for those of us who aren't petrified by talking to people, it's a great time to get to know people. But what if, as part of that, when we saw somebody that we know, we asked that question? What if we used part of that time as a time to proclaim to each other how good God is, how he's real, because he's been working in my life this week? And what if you did talk to people who didn't yet know Jesus in that setting? What would that mean? That would mean that people who didn't yet know Christ would regularly encounter people at the church who actually expected God to be active, who actually talked about our living relationship with God and something that had happened in their lives that week that showed that God was real. Instead of talking about doctrine and the way people should do or not do things, we'd be talking about a living God. And I think that's a lot more attractive than just a belief system and a moral lifestyle. Let me give you an example, just from my own life. Maybe it'll help somebody imagine what they could talk about. About two, three months ago, Karen and I felt led by the Lord to sell our house and to look for a place to build or buy so that we could move Karen's folks in with us. They're in their mid-80s, and we wanted to bring them into a place that we could have them close to us and care for them for the rest of their life. And we talked to them. They felt great about that. So we began to pursue getting our house ready to list, which, what does that mean? It means, you know, all the things that you wish you had done to your house, you know, when it was yours, you do that so that you can sell it to somebody else. And so that meant there was a to-do list. And the to-do list, it's shorter now, but it was pretty long. You know, it's touch-up paint here, it's change out some old fixtures there so they look more modern. And I am not a professional plumber. I am not an electrician. And I'm not a professional handyman. But, you know, you dive into what you can do because you're going to save yourself lots of money. And so I added those things onto my regular responsibilities and get home from work and you're working on house projects. And I don't know how your do-it-yourself projects go, but invariably, mine involve the part I bought doesn't work the way it's supposed to. It doesn't fit where it's supposed to fit. The thing that I got, you know, is actually the wrong thing. And so it usually involves multiple trips back and forth to Home Depot or Lowe's. And that can be frustrating. And maybe a month or so into this, I began to cultivate a fine wine. Now, I don't mean, my wife is laughing, she's in the service. I don't mean the kind that you drink. I mean the kind that you do. Would you like a little cheese with that wine? You know, the whining. I began to feel sorry for myself. It was like every project was not working the way it was supposed to, and I began to just whine about it. And frankly, I got cranky and irritable, and Karen took some of the brunt of that. Now, it's not like I was yelling at her, but it wasn't very pleasant to be around. So we talked about it. I talked about it, and I said, hey, I know that I've been this way, and I'm sorry, and I just feeling, you know, like there's too much on my plate, but it's got to stay on my plate, and so it's just part of what I need to deal with, and I'm praying about it, and to be honest with you, it didn't get any better. I mean, my attitude didn't get any better, and so, again, this last week, in the midst of another, literally, you know, I don't remember which it was. We had tile done in the bathroom, so I had to put the toilet back in after taking it out, and the flange on the floor broke, and so now it's broken, so now I got to replace the toilet flange, and it didn't come off, of course, the way it's supposed to. It you know, it's just, in the midst of another project like that, she's wanting to be helpful, and all of a sudden, it's like, and she talked about this with me, I can't be around you. You know, you're like, so touchy that it's like best to avoid you. And I don't want to be that way. I love Karen. And I don't want to treat her that way. And so I apologized again and again. And I had been praying about this. But again, I'm praying about this. God, will you help me with this? Well, it's like the next day. And in the middle of a project that something didn't work, and now I can't do it because I need to wait for a new part, I go on to a different project, which is a simple one, just replacing the faucet that's in the guest bathroom. And so you just loosen a few things. Well, I get partway through, and I realize I don't have my channel locks, which, you know, are the kind of pliers that you need to get this certain size nut off. Oh, I better go get those. Oh, that's right. My channel locks are in the truck, which is at the mechanic. So it's another trip. I have to go. So this time I ran to Walmart. I figure I can find channel locks there. So I go up to Walmart, and I get the channel locks, and I'm beginning to get this whiny spirit going. And I walk up, and all the lines are long, except for there's the express line, and there's only two people in it. So I get up to the express line. And now there's only one, because the guy left that was in first. And it's a woman and her mom, and mom's writing a check. And then all of a sudden, the cashier says, oh, the coupon didn't go through. And then she tries it again, and it's not working. It's not in their system. And so then you have to call the floor manager. And so we're standing there, and pretty soon here comes the floor manager, and I'm looking by this time. Are the lines any shorter? No, they're no shorter. You know, I might as well stay right here. And then it's kind of like, you know, you stay there because you feel sorry for yourself and you feel like you've got this, you know, this martyr complex. And I began to think, as by then the manager's there and she's literally reading the text on the coupon and just standing there. And my first thought was, wait till Karen hears about this. This is just so typical for me. And you know what? Then I heard the Holy Spirit. Really. And what he said to me was really simple and really obvious. But he said two things. And the first was, your patience is being tested. Which is like, yeah. I'm with you. I'm with you. For me, it meant so much. I know that's just irritation over stuff, but in my struggle, to know that the Holy Spirit is right there, that he knows I'm being tested, and he's with me. It helped me. In that moment, it helped me to stop and thank God. And to change my perspective. And my attitude changed. Because now all of a sudden, it's not about the project. It's not about what goes right or what goes wrong. It's about the fact that I'm loved. That God himself, in the Walmart checkout line, is right there in me and with me, helping me. And I know that that was way longer than you would share in casual conversation in the connection time, but we're just talking about the real stuff of life and sharing with each other. You know, the Holy Spirit's working in me. What if we did that? What if we were just honest and open? Maybe we don't sense any working. Maybe what we can share is, man, this is what I would hope the Holy Spirit would do in my life in the coming week. Now, you may notice that we didn't do our connection time today, and I know there's some of you who are probably thinking, whew, we missed that. Well, you didn't. Just for the purpose of this message only, we moved it to this time in the service. And I want to ask you to take a step of faith. I want to ask you to not just connect, and you can do that and get to know each other, but I want to ask you to find somebody and share with them the excellencies of Christ in your life. Tell them what you appreciate about God, this week, not 20 years ago, or maybe what you hope God would do in your life this week. Because this is supposed to be a place where that happens. This is God's family. And proclaiming the excellencies of Christ is supposed to be what we do. And not just out there, but right here. So we're going to do our connection time, and then the band's going to come up, and we'll close with a worship song. But take a few minutes and talk to people. And you know what? If this is just too awkward for you, then just say hi. But I think that if we would take the step of faith to say, hey, brother, hey, sister, my heart needs the encouragement of the Lord. Can we talk about how he's at work? I think he would help us to be proclaimers, not just here, but everywhere. So how do we start this? Let's